If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, broadcaster George Hook and his employer News Talk have issued unreserved apologies for comments that he made during his programme last Friday. The presenter made remarks about the personal responsibility of rape victims and in effect saying that they had to show some personal responsibility, and they were met with sustained criticism on social media and in more traditional forms of media since as well. One of those who took to Twitter to tell her story is local woman Sarah Clancy. She's part of the Public Participation Network and more. Over 25 years ago, Sarah herself was a victim of sexual assault. The man involved in that particular case was subsequently sentenced and is currently serving a sentence in prison for that crime. Sarah Clancy is with us in studio. Sarah, good morning to you.
Morning, Gavin.
And thanks very much for joining us. I don't really want to repeat what George Hook said because I wouldn't agree with it in any way at all. But in effect, the thrust of what he was saying, this is in respect to an ongoing court case in the UK where a man was accused, a swimmer was accused of raping a woman who had gone back to a hotel room with another man, and then the incident occurred where the second man in effect is accused of taking advantage. What about what George Hook said really annoyed you? He asked, is there no blame now to the person who puts themselves in danger?
Sure. For me, the impression that he was conveying is that it's up to women or even young men, if that's the case, to go around and protect themselves from, you know, that it's their job to protect themselves from people who might wish to harm them or who might wish to rape them, as the case may be. Whereas, in fact, this is the most simple thing to say ever, but it's the most difficult thing to understand if you have been a victim. And that is that the only blame lies with the person who commits the act, the person who rapes someone. You know, if you're walking down the street, somebody doesn't have the entitlement to your body, to your physical self. And that's a message that we don't see repeated often enough. We see all the charities and the NGOs saying this, but we don't see it reflected in our media. Mm-hmm. We see women judged for what they wore, women judged, as is the case with George Hook, for whether they had done something on being one drunk, occasion and not done something on another occasion. Whereas, you know, he had very, very little to say about the man who actually did this, as in, you know, what is it about a woman lying down somewhere that supposedly makes a man feel that he can help himself?
There was something you said there that I wanted to pick up on where you alluded to the fact that even the victims themselves can struggle. We're trying not to blame themselves, was that it?
Well, I'd be very careful to speak from my own personal experience rather than to speak for anyone else.
That's
but
right.
I mean, yeah. I can give you the example that in my own case, it really did take me most of my life until now to actually just deal with all of the build-up of lies and untruths that you have to live if you've been an abuse victim, like the first victim of abuse. I mean, there's the physical aspects, which obviously are very upsetting for people, but the first victim is actually your ability to live an honest life, because things become secret, things become, you feel, usually in the case, you know, in the case of people who have been raped as adults as well, but particularly in the case of people who have been assaulted as children, when they're at a developmental stage, you're made to feel complicit, you've been manipulated, you've been, you know, various different things. And so you've been told from a very young age that in some way that you contributed to this. I know in my case, it meant that even though in lots of ways I was outwardly successful and outwardly confident, I had a really, you know, my family knew nothing about it, but I had a really supportive family background going on as a counterbalance to that.
Yeah.
And so that even though I was being told I was great, I was the youngest spoiled child and, you know, being given loads of confidence in one way because of what was happening to me, I actually thought, you know, to a certain extent, I thought my parents were fools, because I knew there was something wrong with me, really, because, look, I was making all this happen separately. Now, if I come all the way up to the futures, in that's something that I just grew up with, unquestioning. So, for example, if I did something good and people were applauding me for it, I would think that somewhere at the back of that they just didn't really see me for who I was. Or if I did something bad, I'd kind of let myself off the hook and go, well, I was bad anyway.
So are you blaming yourself for being manipulated, for allowing yourself to be manipulated?
Absolutely. I'm absolutely not doing it, but I'm not blaming myself at all. I certainly was. And, you know, in fact, the only thing that I was guilty of was being a bit of an innocent kid. You know, like, I started secondary school still almost believing in Santa Claus. And so I had really no idea about a lot of this stuff. And, you know, so basically in my case, people took you know, advantage of my innocence also, you know, as is often the cases in the man in question had something that I really wanted. He had loads of horses and I was like a teenage kid obsessed with horses. But like through my life, you know, one of the things that happens is, you know, I would do things like I would compare myself to the people who were in the institutional schools and I'd say, well, that it wasn't like that. You know, I would compare myself to people who were, you know, violently assaulted and, you know, I'd go, oh, in my case, it wasn't like that. So I would be minimizing what happened to me.
Okay.
So I could see that if something happened to another person, that it was terrible, whereas I couldn't apply the same decency to myself. And I think that when you have the whole culture, what people call rape culture, basically is where the victim is blamed. You know, like I can give you, I suppose, examples. Even when I was, you know, even when I was talking to the police about it, after with much difficulty, after first of all having to convince myself it was true that I didn't cause it,
yeah.
that you know, you have to jump over all of these different things. Not sure. It's not that you suddenly emerge certain, but so there, you know, there I was, and I remember one of the guards saying to me, "And would you not think of forgiving him?" And you know when you're going, oh God,
this,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the process of going to court about something is not to be underestimated. Again, it's another way where
There's no possibility that Garda was trying to spare you that court process. Maybe I'm not trying to justify what was said. Don't get me wrong, but rather was that a coded way of saying, are you sure you want to go through with it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it was a lack of training, probably a lack of training or a lack of understanding. I think the guards in particular, and one of the better ones said this to me, is in that they particularly an awful lot of the male guards have the understanding that when something happens to a male person, that it's abuse. Whereas they don't quite see it the same when it's in the case of a man and a woman. And I think, like, if we took George Hook's comments, I mean, could you imagine him saying such a thing if that had been a man lying in the bed there who was assaulted?
Your case and the case that he was referring to are different.
Very different, yeah.
This lady was a young adult and she had consumed a lot of alcohol. And the circumstances of that case have, even though George Hook and Newstalk have both apologised profusely for what he said, the circumstances of that case have seen, I think it's the circumstances that have led a lot of people to defend him. A lot of people online to turn around and say that, well, actually, he has a point. What would you say to those people?
I would say that they're apologists for rape culture. And I mean, I couldn't say that strongly enough. And I'd say that's not to accuse them or to cause a divide or something. In certain situations, there's something is only wrong or right. It is wrong in any circumstances to take advantage for a person, any human, to take advantage of another human because that person is, you know, discommoded, right? You know, maybe we need to talk about drink culture. Maybe we need to talk about all of those different things. But not one single one of those provides an excuse for a person to make use of another person in that fashion. So that's what I'd say to the people who are defending George Hook. You know, I've seen people saying things like that, oh, it's his generation. I mean, I know many, many gentlemen of his generation who would never say such a thing or think such a thing. I think that just to say that the similarities really, you know, the similarities between you know, someone who was abused as a child and an adult rape victim, you know, while the circumstances are different, the culture that they happen in are the same. And I mean, it's not, I mean, this is taking it to the bigger picture to a certain extent, but like we have someone who's the president of the United States of America who celebrated, you know, grabbing a woman by the you-know-what. We have an upsurge, I think, in a type of toxic culture. And I think that this, from what I can see in terms of removing women from the station and so on, in my personal opinion, I think Newstalk really wants to go down the shock jock line, and I think we should have none of it.
That's up to listeners, that's up to them.
Entirely,
and
yeah.
I'm going to leave another radio station
for sure,
to
that's
run
my,
its own business,
that's my,
as you can
yeah.
appreciate. And I'm not defending them when I said it, but rather that's their own business. But do you think that attitude from notable public figures, from presidents, does that permeate down? Would you be concerned that other men in particular would hear that and think, well, actually, that's okay?
Well, for me, I'd be more concerned about, you know, so for example, I'll give you again a personal example. The effect on me of hearing a guard say, would you not think of forgiving him? It made me feel like I was making a fuss. Maybe that I was making a big deal about things, you know, that somehow. So it made me, after all the work that I'd done to overcome all these barriers, to go, actually, that was criminal, what happened to me. That after overcoming all of these, that the simple statements like that really are enough to knock someone back from doing what taking the actions that need to be taken to actually end the violence against women and to end rape culture. And, you know, I suppose for me,
to stop victims coming forward.
I think it would stop. I absolutely think it would act to stop victims coming forward. I mean, it's the same type of thing that really, you know, that really, along with, I suppose, the psychological effects of what had happened to me, it's the same thing that stopped me from coming forward for years. Like, I grew up around the same time as the Kerry Babies cases, Anne Lovett, and you know, really our culture was quite difficult. So to think of coming forward in those days, it seems okay now, but I don't think you would.
It was over 20 years, just for our listeners to know at home, between when incidents first occurred and when you came forward. So, and I don't want to labour the point with regards to the drink culture, but I mean, there is a problem with the drink culture, but you just see them as totally separate. Is that kind of what we're looking at, that the drink culture is a problem and you know, too many people get drunk, but what happens afterwards is never...
What I'd put a question to you, and this is not, again, not being a belligerent witness, but it's interesting that you're asking me about the drink culture, not the rape culture. And well, no, so you know, I would say that quite strongly. So you know, I mean, the amount of people go out and have, I think without a shadow of a doubt, we have a problem with drink culture in Ireland. Mm. This is not a case from Ireland. I think maybe, you know, we need to look at bolstering people's well-being and enjoyment from other directions. However, that has nothing to do with a man raping someone.
I agree with you, and I hope that's clear. But I'll explain. I think that anybody has a duty to look after themselves, okay? And that if you're going to put yourself in a state where you're incapacitated, that's something you shouldn't do to yourself. However, that does not give anybody anything close to the right to as you say, use another person's body. In no way. In fact, it should make it worse. The person who takes advantage of somebody who's incapacitated should be dealt with in sentencing much more strictly.
Absolutely.
That would be my view on it. Yeah, that's my view. I still think you've got to look after yourself, but in no way does it condone what happens afterwards. And I hope that's clear.
No, of course.
But you're right. You know, but the reason I ask it is because, as you say, rape apologists have been making this argument that...
Yeah.
It's just that it's interesting how prevalent that argument has been.
It's very prevalent, but you know, at the risk of, rather than going head to head and confronting those people, I'd kind of just ask them to think, maybe think a little bit more. Do we not all deserve a bit better from each other? You know, like we do. We're humans going through life. We're, you know, we're neither spectacularly important nor unimportant. And do we not deserve a little bit more respect from each other than, you know, needing to jump to the defence of, you know, people who are arguing, you know, people who are basically arguing that the you know, that a woman can cause a man to rape her. We don't do it. As in, like, if I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that everybody behaves well or anything, but I suppose if there was one thing that, you know, that I'd kind of say before I finish, and it's just, I remember, this is a kind of an anecdote, but I remember one day hearing, this is an offside now for you, I remember one day hearing, I just happened to be at home. I think radio is a very powerful medium, and that's why I think what George Hook did is pretty damaging. I remember being sitting at home in the rented room in the house I was sharing, and Christy Dignam came on the radio, Christy Dignam from Aslan. Yeah. And he had been in hospital, and he'd taken it upon himself that he was going to go on the radio. Something had occurred to him. He was very, very sick. At the time, he thought he was dying with cancer, and he just wanted to say something. And he said, there was a radio interview, I think it might have been Ray Darcy he was on with, but he just said, basically, he described how he had been molested as a very young boy, much younger than I was now, and he had been about 5 or 6, and he described that, and he described how it happened. And he said that when he came out of that to meet his young friends, he'd gone into a house, you know, I think they were, I don't know, delivering milk or something. Yeah. But when he came out of that house, and his friend said to him, "What happened? Are you all right?" And he said, "I'm fine." That he thought that at that point in his life, that was when he was divorced from truth, and that even at that, he didn't know about it no more than I knew about it, but that's one of the things that it serves to make what's actually real or what's true shaky for you, and to make you not have a grasp on, you know, you're pretending all the time. And and I'd say that if it's of any, you know, if it's of any use to anyone out there who's in a similar situation, like, I never wanted to see myself as a victim, but like, the best thing I've ever done for myself in lots of ways is deal with it, because you know, even though it was really difficult and it took up a load of time, one of the things I did is that I managed, and I think I have managed, to pass all of the blame for what happened to me back to the man who caused it. Now, that's not the courts didn't do that for me, the guards didn't do that for me, just me actually being supported to deal with it did that. And that was such a freeing thing to have happened, as in I'm kind of yahooing around the place still as a result of it, because it's only been a couple of years ago. And just so that if there's anyone else out there, that just put the blame where it belongs, it's not on you.
And that's the most important point to finish it on. Sarah Clancy, thank you very much for joining us. Rape Crisis Midwest are one of a number of groups who do huge work to help people who have been victims of sexual violence both recently and in the past as well. Their 24-hour helpline is 1800 77 8888. Sarah Clancy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Clare FM's Morning Focus, the voice of the Banner County.